Well, today's message answers the age-old question, are you excited enough to see me that you'd leave me standing at the door? The scripture is Acts 12. If that doesn't sound familiar, I'm going to read it to you. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval from the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. This is a matter of life and death. James has already been murdered, and now Peter is next. And so the church is praying for a miracle, praying that Peter would be released, that they'd be able to see him again. The church is praying. That night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. It was a dream. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." Peter is freed. It's a miracle. And so he goes to find the church. The church, which at that very moment is meeting at Mary's house, praying for this miracle. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked on the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door." She is so excited to hear Peter's voice, to know that he's there, that she forgets to open the door. And she runs off and leaves him just standing out there, which isn't so great if you're an escaped prisoner. But Rhoda runs back to tell the others in the church that have gathered, who have been praying, that their prayers have been answered. And when she tells them, "Peter is at the door," then they say, "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel. It must be a ghost." And I just love this because it's so often how the church is. They are praying for a miracle. God grants them the miracle, but they can't believe that God would actually answer their prayers. So they tell Rhoda she's out of her mind. "No, it must be a ghost. You're seeing things, Rhoda. God couldn't have actually brought Peter to us." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw them, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. The church's prayers have been answered. They've been reunited with Peter. He's there in person. Now, I have to say that I'm pretty excited today, too, because you're here in person. For the first time in a long time, we're able to worship not just online, as many of you still are today, but there are actually people here in the room. And as much as I've loved to see Dan and John Ward up there in the booth recording every week, it's really nice to see your faces. I do have to thank Dan and John. They did a lot of work this past week in getting ready for us to be back in person. We found out our projectors weren't working, and we had to install brand new stuff and wiring, and thank Sean for electrical work and others who made it possible for us to come back and be together. I am so excited that we can do this finally. And it gives me new appreciation for the song that we just heard a minute ago. And are we yet alive? And are we yet alive and see each other's face? Glory and thanks to Jesus give for his almighty grace. If you've ever been to annual conference, you've sung that song, because it's been sung at the annual gatherings of Methodists for the past 200 years. Annual conference is a meeting where we come together with every pastor from every Methodist church. Our conference is Minnesota, so the Minnesota Annual Conference has the pastors from every Methodist church in Minnesota and the lay members from every church in the state too. We all come together once a year, and when we do, we sing the song, and are we yet alive, and see each other's face. Which may seem like a strange song, but you have to realize they've been singing that for 200 years. Because if you go back into the history and the beginning of the Methodist Church, when they got together, there wasn't necessarily a guarantee that they were going to be able to see each other, that they would be all together again. See, if you go back into the frontier history of America, those Methodist preachers weren't settled down in towns and villages yet. They were circuit riders. And they would ride from place to place, and they would preach the gospel, and they would teach, and they would baptize. They would gather people for worship, and then they would move on. And they would make a big circuit, and it might take them 3 months or more to get back to see folks again, just like we've been separated for so long. And once a year, they would all get together at one place, and they would be so thrilled to see each other, but also a bit surprised. And so the song in Are We Yet Alive is really a song of surprise, saying, I can't believe it, we're still alive. Glory and thanks to Jesus. Because they couldn't count on being there. The average circuit rider died before he reached 35. So when they got together, they never knew who was going to make it. And so they celebrated. They celebrated being there for each other. You know, sometimes you don't realize what a gift something is until we don't have it. And I don't know that I really appreciated what a gift it is to be together in worship until COVID had caused us to pause that twice this last year. It really caused me to realize what a gift we have when we can gather. And so, have I told you that I'm excited that you're here and that we're back in worship? And I pray for the day when we can all be back in worship together. We do appreciate, though, that those of you who are joining us online, you too are a part of our congregation. We're glad that we can worship this way too. But you know, that song, And Are We Yet Alive, is not the first song written about the excitement of being back together, of worshiping the Lord together. If you look in the book of Psalms, there's a whole section of Psalms that are called songs of ascents. Ascend, like going up, like climbing. And they come just after Psalm 119, which is easy to find because it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible, 176 verses. In contrast, the songs of ascent, they're much smaller. 3 verses, 4 verses, maybe 20 verses at the most. But what is this ascending? What is this going up that these psalms are used for? Well, it's going up to worship. It's going up to Jerusalem, to the temple, and gathering to worship the Lord. You see, three times a year, the Bible tells the Jewish people to gather together in Jerusalem at the temple, to make a pilgrimage. And so three times a year they would be all together. One of those times was at the Passover time, the time when Peter was arrested and put in prison. But at this time, hundreds of thousands of people would leave their villages and homes and they would all come together. And if you know the geography around Jerusalem, you know that Jerusalem sits in the hills. And one of those hills is Mount Zion. And if you're going to go from these other areas up to worship in Jerusalem, you literally go up to worship in Jerusalem. It's just 15 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. But in that short 15 miles, you go from 864 feet below sea level at Jericho to over 2,500 feet above sea level at Jerusalem. So you literally ascend. You go up. And as the people would be ascending, coming up to worship together, they would sing these psalms. They're number 120 through 134. They're short enough. I could read them all to you, but I'm not. I'll just read pieces of them. As the people would go up in their excitement, they would sing Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You've probably heard that before. You wonder, what are these hills that we're talking about? It's the hills around Jerusalem. As you're going up to the temple, you're going up to worship. They sing Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. They sing number 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. Can you hear the excitement? As the people gather and they start to ascend towards the temple, and they see faces that you haven't seen in at least 3 months, maybe longer, 4 months, 5 years, people begin to gather. As they gather, they sing Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Someday I'm going to preach on that weird oil stuff, but today, it's as if the dew of Mount Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. There is life when we come together to worship, whether that be in Jerusalem or online or in this room. Don't ever forget what a blessing it is to be able to gather for worship. Don't ever forget what a gift it is that God answers our prayers. Don't ever forget that you and I are given the great privilege of coming into the very presence of God whenever two or three gather in God's name. And are we yet alive and see each other's face? Glory and thanks to Jesus give for his almighty grace. Now, we haven't been riding around on horseback, but we have been kept apart by COVID. And now as we begin to see each other again, some of us face to face, we realize that there are people who aren't here. And I don't mean just the folks that are worshiping with us online. I mean, there are folks that we were worshiping with just last fall or in past years who have since died and are no longer with us. We remember Harry Hansel, who loved worship so much. You may remember him greeting you. He probably gave you some goofy nickname. remember Marion and Bill Sorg, Jeanette Stocker, Doug Fish, Marion Rowland, and others who are no longer able to worship with us. And yet, we are yet alive, and we are given this privilege. Never forget what a gift it is. Never take for granted the fact that we can be together, because some days we won't be able to be together. What a gift today is to be together. We often take for granted that our brothers and sisters in Christ are gonna be here when we return. We can't take that for granted. Just like we can't take for granted the freedom that we have to worship in our country. You know, COVID caused us to readjust. We had to move online, we had to move outdoors, but still we were able to worship. There are countries where worship is not possible, where Christians are harassed, where owning one of these can cost you your life, like in North Korea. Places where it's not even safe to gather. Just last Christmas, in the Chibok region of Nigeria, Boko Haram militants burned down Church of the Brethren, killed 7 worshipers there, kidnapped the pastor. We have brothers and sisters who can't gather because they live in places where that could mean their death. So we pray for them. Just like the church in Peter's day was praying for his release from persecution, so we pray, Lord, help our brothers and sisters who live in those kinds of places where they can't worship you, where they can't come together. And Lord, may we never take for granted the blessing of being able to worship you in joy and peace as we can. So here we are. God has answered our prayers. We are back together, alive and in the flesh. And I hope you're excited about that. I hope you are excited. Well, some of you might be as excited as Rhoda, you know, leave you at the door kind of excitement. Or some of you may be excited as those circuit riders, and are we yet alive? Or you may simply be as excited as Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I hope you're excited. I hope you're excited every time you get the privilege to gather in the presence of God, to experience God's love, and to share your love in return. I hope you're excited. And are we yet alive? Yes. And we see each other's face. Glory and thanks to Jesus give for his almighty grace. Let us pray. Oh God, we are so, so grateful. You have brought us through this past year, and now here we are, able to gather again, able to worship you. We thank you for your love that is beyond measure and beyond understanding. We thank you for the answers you have given to our prayers. We thank you for your presence with us whenever 2 or 3 gather in your name. Lord, this day is a gift, and we are so appreciative. Glory and thanks to Jesus' gift. Amen.